Christopher Cardillo stands before a New York district judge. He's a lawyer, asking the court for an injunction against the most successful authors of Kindle erotica in the United States. His client, a woman named Felina Hopkins, alleges that her fellow Kindle Unlimited authors are conspiring to destroy her copyright, give her books one-star reviews, and are taking advantage of Amazon's SEO to piggyback off her sales. But that's not how everyone sees it. I'm Stephanie B., and this is Ephemera. Let's wind the clock back to 2015. Felina Hopkins writes a successful series of Kindle porns called either The Cocker Brothers of Atlanta or The Cocky Series, depending on who you believe. More on that in a minute. It's prolific. She wrote 19 books in it with titles like Cocky Cowboy, Cocky Senator's Daughter, and A Honey Badger Xmas. This makes it her most popular series. Her second longest clocks in at 6 books. The Cocky books explore the adventures of the loosely connected Cocker clan who have professions and lovers to spare. Hopkins describes the books this way.
This standalone series about 6 brothers can easily be enjoyed out of order. The Cocker brothers of Atlanta, Georgia have earned their nickname, the Cocky Brothers. Their daddy taught them to be real men. Their mama told them, hold out for a different kind of woman. They have one thing in common. Sexy arrogance.
It was just one more series from one more author of erotica. Felina Hopkins also wrote Werewolves of New York, Werewolves of Yosemite, and Werewolves of Chicago, for example. So to understand why we were in a courtroom a minute ago, we'll have to go backstage at the Romance Writers of America, a nonprofit that represents romance industry authors and runs an annual conference. Another service the Romance Writers of America provides is connecting people with industry experience. A lot of the biggest names in the Kindle Unlimited romance market have the same superstar personal assistant, a woman named Lauren Valderrama. At The Verge, Sarah Jong writes about following a young author named Dakota Willink attending her first RWA conference with, yes, Lauren Valderrama.
According to Willink, over the course of RWA, Valderrama told her about certain marketing and sales strategies which she claimed to handle for other authors. Valderrama allegedly said that she organized newsletter swaps in which authors would promote each other's books to their respective mailing lists. She also claimed to manage review teams, groups of assigned readers who were expected to leave reviews for books online. According to Willink, Valderrama's authors often bought each other's books to improve their ranking on the charts, something that she arranged, coordinating payments through her own PayPal account. When Valderrama invited Willink to a private chat group of romance authors, Willink learned practices like chart gaming and newsletter placement selling, and much more were surprisingly common.
That private chat group is on River, a trimmed-down Slack clone. It's called Book Clicker, and it's run by Chance Carter, a wildly successful romance novelist who calls himself a bad boy who writes about bad boys. He's infamous for the ways he's tried to break Amazon's black box of a system. At the front of his books, readers can click a hyperlink to a page with a giveaway contest, which returns them to the last page of the book instead of the first. Since Amazon knows how far in any particular reader is with a given book, but can't see which pages they actually read, this meant anyone clicking Chance's hyperlink was making him about $15 a click. When it comes to wringing blood from the stone that is Kindle digital payouts, Chance Carter almost literally wrote the book. This June, though, all of his books were abruptly pulled from Amazon, with a spokesperson for Amazon saying the company doesn't comment on individual cases. BookClicker, Chance's private server, mostly exists for authors to trade marketing strategies and cross-promote books. But there's a thriving marketplace for ghostwritten stories and mailing list sales. Another big topic of conversation is how to get more money from the Kindle Unlimited pool. So of the around 1 million books on Kindle Unlimited, there's about 5 million on Kindle total, and about 1 million in this subscription service, Amazon pays all authors out of the same pool. There's about $20 million a month, and a lot of that money is going to romance. You might not know this, but romance is huge. Romance books make about twice as much money as crime or mystery books, and more than sci-fi, fantasy, religious, and self-help books combined. 84% of romance readers are women, and a lot of those women are in their 30s and 40s. On the consumer end of Kindle Unlimited, those people, those mostly women, are paying 10 bucks a month for unlimited access to the million or so books available through the program. Authors are paid based on the number of pages read, which has created the same weird aesthetic choices as anywhere else where art is subservient to the algorithm. Books are frequently 1,000 pages long, stuffed with old material, cheap make-work prose from Fiverr, and are filled with tricks like Chance Carter's link to the back of the book, as well as more obvious cheats like large fonts and small margins. Per-page payouts was affixed to an earlier, even more broken system. Originally, authors were paid a flat fee per book that was borrowed through Kindle Unlimited. This led to a ton of 8-page books, pamphlets, essentially, which readers really hated. The experience of, you know, getting on the subway, there's no Wi-Fi anymore, you open the new, interesting-looking book that you downloaded this morning, and it's 3 pages long, is infuriating. People complained to Amazon, to the authors, and it wasn't good. So shortly after that became an issue, Amazon switched to the existing per-page system, which initially was not very sophisticated. Lots of people ran their entire book through Google Translate and just added the translated copies to the end of the document, aiming to double the amount they received per reader. To Dakota Willink, the writer attending her first RWA convention, this was all a little much.
It seemed like scamming the system, I thought.
She ended things with her assistant to the stars and told Sarah Jong,
I don't want to be associated with these people. I write totally different books than they do. I'm not even a good fit for the crowd.
Lauren Valderrama, who told Willink about all these techniques, seemed to think they were normal in the industry. In her defense, they kind of are, and they're reminiscent of things that are normal in the traditional publishing industry. Major publishers live and die by their ability to game the New York Times bestseller list. There was a scandal last year when Lani Sarum's YA wish-fulfillment book, Handbook of Mortals, made the top of the bestsellers list without going through the usual channels. Sarum insisted that she was selling pre-orders of her books on the Comic-Con circuit, and then fulfilling the orders to mail out by placing bulk orders at stores that reported their sales to the New York Times. The publishing world, who'd never heard of her, immediately decided she'd cheated her way to the top. Most insultingly, she hadn't cheated her way to the top in the normal way. Her book stayed on the bestseller list for a mere 23 hours. At least 5 of Lauren Valderrama's clients have had all their books pulled from the Kindle store without explanation. In this world, a publicist is expected to handle social media, mailing lists, sending out promotional copies, and sometimes even doing market research. It's busy work, which is why it's a little surprising that Valderrama is the publicist to so many star authors. Clearly it's working, though. They're all making out like bandits. Writing on an insider forum, Chance Carter defends himself and his system.
Romancer, everything you say is fair. Making content as long as possible, releasing as frequently as possible, advertising as hard as possible, ranking as high as possible, and then doing it all over again. That's what a lot of people do. That's what I do. And I guess I'm here so everyone who is interested in building a publishing business along lines like that knows of the BookClicker platform. I know there are lots of people who wish Amazon and KU were set up differently, and honestly, I'm one of them. But it's set up the way it is, so that's what I deal with. I'm not here out of altruism. I spent money building this platform, and I'd like to see it used by a community of publishers who are looking to launch books as high as possible on the charts. I'll take lots of flack from people while I'm here, but I know most of that anger is directed as much against the system we operate in as it is against me personally.
He continues.
But I'll keep saying what I came to say, and if you hate the idea, fine. At the end of the day, there will be 500 publishers using this system, and it'll help them launch higher. Will it mean the best books make the most money? No. The books with the most emails make the most money. Is that fair? No. But I can't fix that. I'm selling emails. You don't have to like me, you just have to think honestly about the industry you're in, how it works, and what steps you're willing to take to increase your numbers.
In May, our self-described bad boy writing about bad boys had a contest to promote his new book, Mr. Diamond. It's about a Russian billionaire playboy who falls in love with the girl at the Tiffany's counter who makes his, how you say, weapon get hard as Russian steel. The promotion? Leave an early review and get entered into a draw to win your own diamonds from Tiffany's. Unfortunately, this was a violation of Amazon's terms and conditions. No paid reviews. Scrupulous authors made Tiffany Gate trend on Twitter, which, as we just heard, probably helped Chance get paid. The Book Clicker Cabal has a master working group in charge of theme months, where they pick a new version of confident, rugged masculinity to write about. As I release this, the thing has been Mountain Men, with titles like His Frozen Heart, Her Mountain Baby Daddies, and my favorite, Mountain Man's Mail Order Bride. It's this practice of trend-setting that will bring us back to the courtroom. One month, the Book Clicker Cabal's theme was going to be cocky. Straightforward, and everyone could put their own spin on it. But Felina Hopkins, who at the time was both a member of Book Clicker and represented by one, you guessed it, Lauren Valderrama, lost her shit. According to Dakota Willink,
Felina went crazy. She said, no, I already did that. That's part of my series. And they said, no, what are you talking about? This is what we do. And she got all bent out of shape about the whole thing. It was a big fight, and she dissociated herself with this group of authors.
For her part, Hopkins says that she left because she found the group unethical.
I quietly slipped out of the group when I finally understood the dishonesty that was growing. I write under my real name, with my face, and write all of my own books. Integrity is vital.
Cocky theme month never went ahead. They jumped straight to Mountain Men. In the outward-facing world, Hopkins began to dogmatically enforce her idea that cocky was heavily related to her books and was very important and was the only way her readers could find her books. And, indeed, in September of last year, she successfully filed 2 trademarks for the word cocky in romance novels. But you can't just copyright a word. Her filings were for the things you can trademark in this world. A series title and a word mark, which is a word in a specific font. But the way she wielded these copyrights is basically textbook trademark bullying. A number of authors who were and weren't members of Book Clicker began to receive letters from their publishers, as well as rights holders like Audible.com, that someone had written them about a copyright violation in their new book. Felina would follow up a day or two later, writing a direct personal email demanding the book's name be changed. This is expensive. It involves redoing your ad campaigns, reprinting all the paperbacks you'd printed, and maybe a new cover photo shoot. But if you looked online, Felina had a registered trademark with the patent office, so most people felt like they had to comply. The Romance Writers of America contacted an IP lawyer for advice. Kevin Neuper, a former IP lawyer himself who now writes sci-fi and fantasy, filed an official challenge to the trademark with the USPTO. Hopkins responded to Neuper's filing by suing him. A bunch of authors got together and wrote a 1,000-page anthology of new one-off romance stories as a fundraiser. 10% went to the authors who had to change the names of their books, and 90% went to the RWA's legal costs. Ostensibly, the RWA had nothing to do with it, but were willing to take the donation. It's called Cocktails, and most of the stories have the word cocky in the title. Felina sues the publicist, one Jennifer Watson. She also sues successful Kindle erotica author Tara Crescent, author of Her Cocky Doctors and Her Cocky Firefighters. The lawsuit, by the way, doesn't go very well. Felina's lawyer tries to show that cocky is something her readers are looking for and that they are, in the language of copyright law, unsophisticated consumers, meaning that they don't really spend that much time thinking about their purchase. Kevin Neuper is removed from the list of defendants, but not before dropping the bombshell that Hopkins didn't start calling her books the Cocky series until more than a month after she'd received her trademark. First, they were the Cocker Brothers of Atlanta. Then they became A Cocker Brothers / The Cocky Series Story, and then finally they segued into branding as The Cocky Series. I'm no lawyer myself, but it's safe to say that this is pretty bad for Felina's case. The judge won't grant a preliminary injunction, so it goes to discovery. Included in the court documents is an argument between Hopkins and Crescent and the BookClicker server from before Felina gets her trademark rights. She asks Crescent to change the name of her book so they won't show up next to Felina's online. Crescent isn't impressed.
You're writing, one, a family-based series of romances, two, with white covers and man-chest, mostly, and three, with the word cocky in them. I'm writing small-town menage romances with entirely different-looking covers, which happen to have the word cocky in the title. My series-slash-concept has nothing to do with yours.
Felina files for copyright shortly afterwards. A blog post, written by author Jenny Trout, circulates wildly while discovery is happening. The first half is a wrap-up of the facts so far, and the second half is a personal letter. It's this that I'll quote from next.
"You are a nasty piece of fucking work, lady. Nobody was ever copying you. Nobody knows who you are. The most common reaction seen on social media when your name started coming up was, 'Who?' followed by, 'Who does she think she is?' We had to ask these things because we legitimately had no clue you existed. But boy, howdy, do you exist now? See, you're not famous, but you're infamous. You probably thought that all publicity was good publicity. That is not the case if the publicity you're getting is just making people become more and more furious and fed up with you. I haven't seen anyone say they plan to read your really interesting and unique books as a result of your Highlander mentality. I've seen a lot of people say the opposite. P.S. Your Cocky series debuted a year after V. Keelan and Penelope Ward's Cocky Bastard became a huge hit. So, who's copying who, you busted-ass bitch?"
A few weeks ago, Felina withdrew her suit and surrendered her trademark registrations. Here's the real Felina in a YouTube video.
"Hey, this is Felina Hopkins, and I'm giving up my two Cocky trademarks. This is my official statement. When I started writing this series, I wanted to protect it because it's become like my family. And I hear that from a lot of my readers as well. I guess that's why it became so popular and why it remains so, because you can really relate to the characters and you care about them. And in my world, you protect family. That's what you do."
Through all the drama, she maintained that she had readers emailing her, saying they'd bought a book they thought was about the Cocker Brothers, or that they recognized the stock photo model she was using for a particular Cocker Brother on some non-Cocker book cover. As she says in this tweet,
"I receive letters from readers who lost money thinking they bought my series. I'm protecting them, and that's what trademarks are meant for."
But this is stupid. Any reader of romance fiction, I've been assured, would recognize any of the absurdly overused stock photo hunks from several books, not just one. And they could have just returned the book to Amazon. It's not that hard. In their reporting on this story, The Verge spoke with a trademark lawyer who's worked with romance writers before. She points out that this is an example of some of the weaknesses of the USPTO. It's understaffed and overworked, so the clerk who approved the Cocky word mark and series title trademark probably just checked the PTO's internal database without doing any kind of broader outside world due diligence. I think Felina had what she thought was a good idea. File for a trademark to protect your series, protect it, snap up readers. But the Streisand effect hit her, and hard. She's self-published, so all she had to lose was her reputation, and she's lost it. Sic transit gloria mundi. Felina wanted these other books, the Her Cocky Firefighters of the World, to stop showing up next to her own stories on search pages. Since the only thing the titles had in common was the word cocky, that's the best search term for a fan of her work, right? Well, As a result of her posts and later the lawsuit, the algorithm has taken even that away from her. Search for Felina Hopkins and you'll see the Cocktails anthology on page one. Another author's defiantly retitled The Cockiest Cowboy That Ever Cocked, and Tara Crescent's Her Cocky Doctors, now bracketed A MFM Menage Romance and The Cocky Series, Book 1. If you'd like to get in touch or suggest a topic, shoot me an email at ephemerathepodcast@gmail.com. I'd like to thank my Patreon supporters, everyone who helped me read lines for the show, and most of all, you, for listening. If you like Ephemera, consider supporting it on Patreon. For $3 a month, I'll come to you first about doing a voice on the show. You also get the unreleased pilot episode and short companion pieces to each regular episode, as well as some bonus content that I'm going to start uploading. There's more info on Patreon. Next time on Ephemera, cities became unusable because there were so many plague-ridden corpses in the street. Anyone you met could be infected. What can a World of Warcraft plague teach us about a real pandemic? I'm Stephanie B, and I'll see you next month. Yeah.